Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm glad to see all of you. Thank God for all of you. I want to dedicate this song here to Fred Baltimore. Because of the testimonies I've heard him come here and say, I know that this song kind of gets to him. And every time he comes into the door, I'm glad to see him. So, come on, bro. I got over. I made it over. You know my soul, look back and wonder. I made it over.
All right,
I got over. Coming on over all these years. You know my soul, look back and wonder, I made it over. Tell me how we got over. We've been falling and rising all these years. You know my soul, look back and wonder, I made it over. But when I see my Lord Jesus, the man who died for me, hung there, bled and suffered, he hung on Calvary. I wanna thank him for how he brought me. I wanna thank God for how he taught me. I wanna thank my soul how he kept me. I wanna thank him cause he never left me. I wanna thank him for old time religion. I wanna thank him for giving me this vision. I'm gonna join the heavenly choir. I'm gonna sing and never get tired. And then I'm gonna sing somewhere around God's altar. I'm gonna shout, all my troubles are over. I just want to thank God, thank him for being so good to me. Tell me how we got over. We had to cry in the midnight hour sometimes over. You know my soul, look back and wonder, I made it over. I'm gonna wear a diamond crown in that new Jerusalem. I'm gonna walk the streets of gold. I'm gonna sing and never get old. I'm gonna view the host in white.
Oh, yeah.
They've been traveling day and night.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up from every nation.
Oh, yeah.
They on the way to the great coronation.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from the north, south, east, and west.
Oh, yeah.
They gonna fly to the throne of rest. Then they gonna sing the melody choir.
Oh, yes.
They gonna sing and never get tired.
Oh, yes.
And then they gonna sing somewhere around God's altar.
Oh, yes.
I'm gonna shout, all my troubles are over.
Oh, yes.
I just want to thank God, thank him for being so good to me. I wanna thank God this morning.
Say it, wait, wait.
I wanna thank him this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all night long,
oh, yeah.
God kept his angels watching over me.
Oh, yeah.
And early this morning, early this morning,
oh, yeah.
God told his angels, God said, touch him. in my name. God said, touch him in my name. God said, touch him. I feel like shouting. 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 I just want to thank God. Thank him for being so good to me. Oh, I want to thank him this morning. I want to thank him this morning. You know, all night long, God kept his angels watching over me. And early this morning, early this morning, God told his angels, God said, touch him in my name. God said, touch him in my name. God said, touch him. I feel like shouting. 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 I just want to thank God. Thank you for being so good to me. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
For leading us in our songs. We thank our guest, and not really a guest, but Sister Brooks from Burnett for coming and being with us today. Amen. Amen. I want you all to give a special shout out to Tyrone Price. It's his birthday. Was it yesterday? Was it yesterday, Tyrone? Next Sunday? But they didn't jump to go. Pat, the drummer. Pat is today. Well, give a shout out to Pat, and Tyrone, we got you next Sunday. All right. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday, Pat. Amen. Amen. Thank this choir for leading us in our song. Thank you for being here. It just wouldn't be the same. And we thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Only God can work out dark times in our lives, and sometimes it's the dark things that make us run to him. Amen. Thank Brother Reverend Lee for reading in your hearing Haggai chapter 2:1-9. And I said, this is such a loving place. We will lift you up, but you better have some tough skin. but it's all in love. Amen. The other thing is, it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy to read some of these names, places, and words. Yeah. And so I appreciate him not putting Cassandra up there to do it. that the veteran took the challenge and he did it. Amen. But I also thank him for his type of spirit. And I just want to point this out because some people don't like to read because other folk will make fun of them. You know, and we joke and we laugh and we have a good time. But don't let that stop you from participating. Because we're going to love you no matter how bad you tear it up. We're going to love you anyway. Because ain't nobody got it all. Nobody's perfect. And I appreciate how he takes it in stride because that's a model. You don't have to be defensive. We're here to love each other and to help each other. And one day it just may be you. Amen. Amen. So I appreciate this place. I appreciate the people in this place. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you out of Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. I just want to lift up verses 7 through 9 for our day. It reads in this way, Haggai 2, 7 through 9, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen. I just want to focus our thoughts around new priorities. New priorities. In this fast-paced world where technological changes happen so fast that only a few months after you purchase the latest gadget, they have something on the market already to replace it. In a world that gives you instant access to the latest media and entertainment, to the latest news, but also it gives instant access to you. In a world that is much greater, made much smaller by the internet, and where countries have been toppled because news can be reported in real time without governmental interference. In this sort of world that is fast-paced, demanding, and pulls on you from all directions, it becomes that much more difficult to keep one's priorities in check. Amen. It becomes a challenge deciding what to attend to first when everything on your plate is important and urgent. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? When everything goes on in your life demands your time and energy right now, and you're expected to multitask all the things on your plate all at the same time. I guess I'm just talking to myself today. It's days like that that make you feel like there's not enough time in a day to do all that you feel you have to do. How do you decide what to do first when it seems that every task that you have is necessary? In 1954, a speech to the Second Assembly of the World Council of Churches by the former U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower. He was quoting Dr. Roscoe Miller, the president of Northwestern University. He said, I have two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not always important, and the important are never urgent. This is the Eisenhower principle, and it's said to be how he managed his workload and his priorities. He determined what was important and urgent and made those things primary to accomplish. This is a task-oriented approach to being effective and not just active. There is a difference in being effective and being active. You can be active and not get a thing done all day. Amen. But another way to set your priorities is being value-driven. The thing with being value-driven is that your values come out regardless to what you say, but more importantly, by what you do. I had a high school teacher who taught civics class, and he told us, if you really want to know what a politician believes, don't listen to what they say, but look at their budget, because what they fund will tell you what they really care about. But I believe that all people are really like this. It's not what we say that reveals our values, but where we spend our time and how we spend our money. If you looked and saw where you spent the majority of your time, and if you looked at your bank account and saw how you spent the majority of your money, what would it say about the things you really care about? And in today's day and age, you can even look at Facebook and Instagram or some of your friends and determine what they really believe in, where their values really lie, where they spend their time, and where they spend their money, and who they spend their time and money with. Let's take a self-inventory assessment. When it comes to the work of the church, and you don't have to say it out loud, please don't. When it comes to the work of the church, how do you spend your time? When it comes to supporting the church, how faithful are you in giving your money? When it comes to spreading the gospel, how do you treat your adversaries and those that are most vulnerable? You can be in the habit of practicing a religion and yet still neglect the tenets of your faith, but what you value would dictate how you behave. What you value. What does your behavior say about your values? What kind of values do you really have? How much do you value the church and the things of God? It's interesting how what we believe about who God is and what God will do is connected to our values. In our text, the first post-exilic prophet to speak was Haggai. And he delivered a message from God, chastising the people of God for neglecting God's house as they themselves lived in luxurious homes. The prophet was challenging their values as they claimed to be God's chosen people, and yet they had abandoned the work to restore God's house to its former glory. The people had been taken into exile in Babylon as the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. It would be years before those families that were exiled would be allowed to come back and rebuild the temple. But they were excited to be back to their native land and rebuild the temple of God. They remember what it was like. They heard the stories of how great it was. And when they got home, they were excited to put their hand to the plow and start building it back up to what it used to be. Its splendor and its majesty, its pride and its awesomeness. They were excited to do the work of the Lord and build up the symbol of God. Yeah. But then it seemed that over time, after obstacles and opposition, the work proved to be too much. When the Jewish exiles returned, they found that the Jews had been left behind, but instead of worshiping God and God alone, these Jews, they were now called Samaritans, they began to mix and mingle pagan worship with the worship of Yahweh. And they began to intermingle that with other worships of gods. But when the Samaritans saw the Jews come back to rebuild the temple, they too wanted to participate as well, but they were not allowed because the Jews wouldn't allow any paganism, any polytheism to taint their true religion. And because the Jews wouldn't let their descendants, the Samaritans, participate in the building of the temple, Ezra 4 and 5 says that the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah, make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrated their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus and on into the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, you can't let people with the wrong motives cause you to lose focus of what God has really called you to do. You can't get into penny arguments that will cost you a quarter worth of problems with somebody who ain't really caring about the work that God has you to do. They're just mad because you won't let them do the work with you. The truth be matter, some folk, they got to get their life together before they can do what God said do, because if they jump in it too fast, they going to mess themselves up and they going to mess you up. Sometimes saying no is something good. Sometimes saying no is grace in action. Sometimes saying no is mercy moving. You got to know when to tell people, no, that ain't for you. You first got to pick up a book and read a little. No, that ain't for you. You got to first learn how to follow before you can lead. No, that ain't for you. You got to listen to somebody before you try to teach. Sometimes you got to tell some folk, no, don't wreck yourself before you check yourself. Everybody that says, here, pick me, they don't need to go. Somebody says some just win and others was sent, but I got to be sent by God or else I can do damage to myself and others. Just because it's good don't mean everybody got to do it. Everybody ain't equipped. Everybody ain't prepared. Everybody don't have the wherewithal. I had a brother tell me one time, my gifts get me into places my character can't keep me. And you can get a gifted brother or sister in some places, and as soon as they get their hand on the money, you want to know where all the money went. As soon as they start ministering to the women or to the men, you want to know why the church is getting charged with solicitation. You can't let everybody do everything in God's house. Amen, somebody. Somebody's mad right now. I know we need some help, but we don't need any old kind of help. You got to know what help is. Sometimes you think it's help, but your help is really hurting. You volunteering and running folk away. Sometimes you got to tell them, no, you can't do this today. And that's scripture. Because the Bible talks about before you put up an overseer, you got to watch them for a little while to make sure that they're the person that you want them to be. Sometimes as you watching, you may find out, no, that just ain't it. And I know some folks says, well, how are you going to decide if somebody was called by God or not? You better use some good common sense. And if they really called by God, I can tell them no, but you better do what the Lord says. He didn't say you got to preach here. He just said go preach. He didn't say you got to teach here. He just said go teach. He didn't say you had to be raised up here. He said just go send the message out. You better do what the Lord said do, because I'm going to do the same thing. They allowed the pettiness of the people around them to distract them and discourage them to the point that they forgot their primary focus. What their primary focus was, don't let people pull you off of your primary focus with all of their pettiness, because before too long, you'll stop doing what the Lord told you to do, to fight a fight that wasn't yours to fight with to begin with. I know I'm right about it. And this Bible stuff works out in the streets too. Some of y'all letting people pull you into stuff you ain't got no business doing, in conversations you ain't got no business having, and you're meddling in somebody else's business. But if you just stay focused on your own lane, you'll find out that the Lord will take care of you and take care of everybody else. Amen, somebody. He'll do it if you trust him. He'll work it out for you if you just follow him. Not your will, but his will be done. I know you want to argue your case. You want to tell him why they so bad. But if you just stand in the mirror, you'll find out you may be talking more about yourself than you are somebody else. Just let the Lord take care of your problems. He can do it if you trust him. Reminds me of the book of Revelation chapter 2 when Jesus admonished the church in Ephesus and says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've been tested, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. You found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have grown weary. You've been doing a good work. You've been doing a good thing. You've held up the blood-stained banner. But then it says, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love that you first had. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do repent, I will come to you and remove. If you don't repent, I will come to you and remove the lampstand from its place. You see, the people in the church can be caught doing a lot of good things, but they did them for all the wrong reasons because they forgot their first love. Don't let your good be spoken evil of because you forgot your first love. Don't do all of the good things so somebody pats you on the back, and as soon as they forgot that you was involved, you want to run somebody down.
Don't do good just because you think you're gonna get good back in return. Don't just prophesy over somebody's life, but you can't even get your life together. Don't be a hypocrite trying to set everybody else right, but you spend so much time trying to take a speck out of somebody else's eye that you don't spend time trying to take the log out of your eye. If you get yourself straight, maybe God will work everything else right on your behalf. And if we forget our first love, Jesus will call us in contempt. It's not about a rote religion, but a religion of right relationship with God and with other people. Haggai 1:4, the prophet tells the people that they have their priorities wrong. They have forgotten God, the God-given values, when he asks, "Why are you living in luxurious homes and my house lies in ruin?" You got the wrong priorities. It seems with all the obstacles and distractions, the people's mission to rebuild God's temple to its former glory had been abandoned so that the people could build their own little kingdoms with the, while the temple, the symbol of God's presence, goes dilapidated. And here is the irony. Even though the people of God had more now than they had in the past, they also lacked that which their hands could not provide. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builder builds in vain. Brothers and sisters, that's some of our problems. We've made more money than our ancestors made before us, but it seems like we can't hold on to nothing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You got two or three jobs and making more than enough money, but you still got a bum for gas money from time to time. Anybody ever experienced that before? You got your priorities all wrong. It's not that you can't provide, but if you got your priorities wrong, the Lord knows how to get it from you one way or another. You're either going to give it back to the Lord, or you're going to give it to the bill collector. You're either going to give it back to the Lord, or somebody's going to take it from you. You're making all of this money, but with your bad, wrong, messed up priorities, you just as broke as the next person, don't know where it's going to. You say you're going to stop eating out, but you still can't keep no money in your pocket. You got all of your priorities wrong. I know I'm right about it because it's right there in the text. Here's the thing. Haggai was talking to a remnant of people. So let me tell you what that means. That means it was a small number that can cause you a lot of headaches. He's talking about a remnant of folk who's living in big houses while God's house goes down. A small number of folk not doing what they're supposed to be doing. A small number of folk want to naysay and stop the project from going. A small number can really derail you. Small number can mess you up. One person can spread a lot of lies. One person can mess up a lot of stuff. Only one person can mess one spoiled apple. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. But the good news is, even though one person can give you a lot of headache, God can take a remnant and get you right back on track again. That should make you happy, because it don't take a whole lot of folk to do what thus says the Lord. If two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. If they're just touch and agree, it don't take a whole lot of people. It just takes some willing folk that are willing and courageous and do what the Lord says do. A few can mess you up, but a few can get you back on track again. The Lord don't need a whole lot of folk. He'll just deal with the minority. Are there any minorities in the house today? Is there anybody that God has used in spite of yourself? You felt like you was all by yourself? Couldn't nobody help you? Even those that wish they could, they didn't have no answers for you. But God showed up right in the nick of time. He turned it around for your good. God don't need a whole lot of ladder. He just needs you to trust and obey. He'll help you if you put your faith in him. Haggai asked them, "Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory?" How do you see it now? Is it not nothing in your eyes? He's letting them know that their priorities are messed up. You've taken more consideration for the lesser things, and you've overlooked the weightier things to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. There were still some people that remembered what Solomon's temple looked like back in the day, and they look at it now in discouragement, saying it'll never be what it was back in the day. But you got your priorities all messed up. If you're value-driven and not just task-driven, you do it because the Lord said do it, not because you're going to see it happen in the end. There's some things you may never see in your lifetime, but if you just do what the Lord says do, God has never delivered a promise that he hasn't been able to keep. Maybe your descendants will be able to benefit for your prayers and your hard work. Maybe they'll be able to live in a way that you couldn't afford for yourself to live. But if you put your hand to the plow now, if you work for God now, the Lord will make a way somehow. Your name will be written in the chronicles of the ancients, saying they were faithful even until the end. Lord says, I'll shake up heaven and earth and the sea and the dry land. I'll shake up all of the nations so that the treasures of all the nations come in, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declared the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give you peace. It all belongs to the Lord. The gold is mine and the silver is mine. It all belongs to the Lord. Your present day will be better than your former day. Today is better than yesterday. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell in it. Tomorrow is going to be better than your today, because God is already in your future working it out for your benefit. You can't change yesterday. You can only live in today, but your hope is in tomorrow. You ain't got to look at the good old days of yesterday, because you got some better days that lie ahead. Amen, somebody. Y'all must not know the Lord that I know. I may not be what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And truth be told, I ain't trying to go back to those latter days. I'm looking for those former days. I'm looking for those days that lie ahead, because God got something better for me on tomorrow than he got for me on today. I remember when I played for the University of Kentucky, and we would lose game after game after game. And my coach would come in and say, don't worry about it, son. The sun will come up tomorrow. Even when you feel like the world is beating you, you got to remember the sun will come up tomorrow. It may be cloudy, but you can bet your bottom dollar that God is faithful and the sun will come up tomorrow. God is my hope and strength in times of storm. The Lord can keep me when I can't keep myself. The Lord can help me when I can't even help myself. The sun will come up tomorrow. You just got to hold on to his unchanging hand. Hold to his unchanging hand. And it ain't God's fault. You just may need to change some of your priorities. And you got to have the courage to do something different. You got to have the courage to trust in the Lord. And if you trust in the Lord, God will not disappoint you. We open up the doors of the church today that you can receive this Jesus Christ in your life, this Jesus that makes all the difference in the world. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But it ain't just about getting wet. It's not just about being baptized. It's really about a relationship with the Lord. And we're not talking about a superficial relationship. We're not talking about one of those catfish relationships. If you ever seen MTV Catfish, we're talking about something real. a God that knows you and a God that wants to be known by you. This is the conversation and the relationship that we want you to have with the Lord. If you just trust him today, we open up the doors of the church for you. Whosoever will, let them come. Let us stand as we're led in this song. This is your invitation. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. How will you respond?
I don't mind waiting.
Yes, this is your invitation.
Don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I don't mind waiting.
This is your invitation.
Don't mind waiting. Don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I don't mind waiting. Don't mind waiting.
He's calling.
I don't mind waiting. On you, Lord. Don't mind waiting. I don't mind.
It's your invitation. To call at this time, I'm going to ask that all those that are able and willing, if you would come before the altar, and there may be someone on your list that stands in need in prayer, we ask that you call them out at this time. Sisters Ollie Boffman, Josie Pugh, Ella Shoulders, Ida Green, Helen Martin, Valerie Tate, Gracie L. Harris, Hermaine Shaw, Juanita Wade, our brothers Richard Miles. Remember in prayers, myself and family, David L. Snorton, Pastor Emeritus Reverend James L. Snorton and the family, our children and their parents, our church ministries, the women at KCIW, Louisville Central Community Centers, Simmons College of Kentucky, Louisville Theological Seminary, the Black Church Studies Department, the West End School. Lift up my cousin Erica Jobbers in your prayers, and there may be some other names that you want lifted up as well.
Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, with our humbled hearts, knowing, God, that you are God over everything and everybody, that no matter how bad it seems that life is out of control and the world is out of control, God, we know that you are still in control, and you hold the whole world in your hands. Lord, we lift up those that are dealing from the destruction of the flooding waters in Houston, from the hurricane winds in Florida, and how they may reach and displace hundreds of thousands of people, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, God, for those persons' safety that didn't have anywhere to go, even those that are finding inadequate place to shelter. God, we pray that you show up in their midnight hour. Let them know that you see them and that you hadn't forgot about them and you're right there with them. Protect them, dear Heavenly Father, much better than anybody else can. This is a situation that only you can do what only you can do. We ask, God, that you even calm the winds and the raging waves, dear Heavenly Father, that it may look bad to us, but in your hands it is a little bit of nothing. God, we ask that you take all control. And Lord, we ask that you give us a giving and a generous spirit, that when we find out what the needs are and where we can go to meet those needs, that we will even get into the work of helping those that are less fortunate and that are struggling, dear Heavenly Father. Let them know that we too see them and that we care about them as well, Lord. Help this tragedy be something that will bring us closer together, that will melt those things that divide us as we see the humanity in each and every one of us. For we all been made in the likeness and image of you. We lift up those names that were spoken today, dear Heavenly Father, that stand in need of prayer, Lord. You know what they need better than we do. We ask, God, that you touch them, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with them, that you even give them joy in their midnight hour, Lord. Comfort them, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, Lord, that you bless the activities of this church, all of her ministries, and all those that keep it afloat, dear Lord. We pray that those that had to sacrifice, dear Lord, to be faithful to you, that you restore everything back a hundredfold. And we can sing with some conviction, you can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. But Lord, we believe it, but help us to try a little harder. Help us to try harder when we do your work. Help us to do it your way and in your time frame. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that those that need to really know you and the pardon of their sin, to recognize it's not just about coming to church, but it's about being the church, and it's about knowing you best. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless only as you can. Watch over us, take care of us, and lift us up, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As everybody moves back, just want to remind you that we are at Regis Woods today at 3 o'clock. For those that are